Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
By a show of hands, how many of you consider yourself a pretty good multitasker? So like, you know, you put on makeup, you shave, you send an email, you send a text. How many of you would say you're pretty good at that? Okay. How many of you have ever changed clothes while driving? Just mass confession here. Wow. Okay, thanks for making our roads safe. We really appreciate it. How many of you would say that people who talk slowly irritate you? Okay, I'm from the South, and so for about the next 30 minutes, you're just going to have to get over it, okay? How many of you, man, when you go to bed at night and you lay your head on the pillow, your mind just starts racing. You just rehearse all the things that you didn't get to cross off of your to-do list that day, or you start thinking of all the things you have to do tomorrow. How many of you, that's your mind just never stops? Okay, absolutely. That's me too. In 1967, expert testimony was given to a committee in the United States Senate about the well-being of American citizens. And these experts were made up of scientists and just doctors and folks like that. And they said that labor-saving, time-saving devices and technology would change the way Americans live and work. They said within 20 years, so it's 1967, so by 1987, Americans, the average American, would work 32 weeks out of the year at a rate of 22 hours per week so that they could retire by the age of 40. Now, did that happen for you? They also said that the number one challenge that Americans would face in 1987 in regards to time would be what to do with all the excess time they have. Now we laugh at that because that didn't happen, right? In fact, did you know that the average employee in America only takes 13 days of vacation per year, whereas the average employee in Italy takes 42 days of vacation per year? Did you know, prior to me saying that you live in the wrong country? All right. Let's face it, man. We are a generation of exhausted people, aren't we? And the 24/7 pace of our culture does not encourage us to slow down. Richard Swenson describes our culture this way. He says, just look at our lives. We send our packages by Federal Express. We use a cell phone company called Sprint. We manage our finances on Quicken. We schedule our appointments on Day Runner. We diet on Slim Fast, and we wear swimsuits called Speedos. Now, I just want to be very clear this morning, okay? That is not how God created you. God never intended that you wear Speedos. Okay, can we just agree to that, okay? Especially the guys, yeah, absolutely. You can clap for that. I'm totally cool with that. But the reality is we live in a culture that says, you know, that work is more important than home, that action is always better than rest, that possessions are more important than people, and that more is always better than less. And so as a result, you and I, we work longer hours that turn into longer weeks and longer months and longer years. And all those long things, all they do is cut life short for all of us. Okay? Now, they cut it short physically oftentimes, but definitely emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Now, that's the bad news, okay? But I've got some good news today. And the good news is that our Heavenly Father has written out a prescription for us for a better way of living. We're going to look today at a commandment in the Bible that sounds so strange that you would never think that this would be in the Bible. Okay? And the main reason you wouldn't think it would be there is you have never felt guilty about violating this commandment. Okay? Like, you know, if you steal something, you feel guilty, right? You commit adultery, you feel guilty. You murder someone, hopefully you feel guilty, right? But I'm telling you, we're going to look at a commandment today that you have never felt guilty about violating. You've never sat down with your counselor to talk about this. You don't think of this issue as maybe being the cause behind some of the problems and struggles you have with in life. This is a commandment that's in the Bible that we tend to just kind of walk on by, and we don't even notice that it's there. Now, here's the interesting thing. It's actually a commandment that's in God's top 10 list. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God gave his people, the Israelites, 10 commandments. Maybe you've seen the movie, okay? You know, where Charlton Heston climbs up the mountain, and actually Moses climbs up the mountain, you know, and God gives him these stone tablets with God's top 10 commandments. And what's interesting is that this commandment we're going to look at is commandment number 4, okay? Which is just kind of strange. It's commandment number 4 of the top 10. But this is a commandment that helps us fight back against the 24/7 culture that we live in. So you ready to hear it? Okay. Here it is. Commandment number 4 of the top 10. You shall take a day off. You shall take a day off. Doesn't that sound kind of strange, right? I mean, if you like only had 10 commandments to work with, would that really stay on the list? You know, I mean, don't you think there's like some other things, some more important issues that you should address? And even if you kept it on your top 10 list, don't you think it'd be like number 10? You know, I mean, we got these 9 important things, you know, don't murder, don't covet, honor your father and mother. And by the way, take a day off, right? You know, you just kind of throw it in there at the last minute. But it's number 4 on the list. Why in the world would God make such a big deal about this commandment of taking a day off? I mean, what in the world was God's point? Well, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus is very easy to find. It's the second book in the Bible. In fact, the Bible, a lot of times we think of as one book. It's actually 66 books. It's a compilation of 66 books. And Exodus is the second book there. There's Genesis. And then there's Exodus. And we're going to be hanging out in Exodus chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We're going to put the scriptures here on the screen behind me. If you don't own a Bible, we would love to give you one. We have them for free, no strings attached, at the Velcro bar. Stop by there on your way out and grab one. We'd love for you to have one. So here it is, Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, in case any of you still have those, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Okay? Now the word here, Sabbath, literally means to pause. To stop. Okay. God says, hey, 6 days, I want you to work, okay? Work hard. Work's a good thing. Okay? But then, at the end of a hard work week, a full work week, you need to have a scheduled day. You need to have a day that's set apart, that's different. You need to have a day of rest, a day where you stop, a day off, okay? Where you live life differently. You step outside of your routine, whatever that routine is for those other 6 days, you step outside of that and you enjoy and experience life differently. Now listen, I know because you're probably a lot like me, but you read this and you hear this and you kind of push back, right? And because you hear this and you just kind of think, man, that's really cool. That's great that God wants to give us a day off. But this idea of rest and not working, I mean, that may have been great for the Israelites thousands of years ago, but that's just not going to fly with my schedule here in the 21st century, okay, right? Now what's interesting is their culture back then wasn't all that much different from our culture today. You may not realize that, but this, where I just read, the Israelite people, this was a 24/7 culture. This was a 24/7 group of people. The Israelites had just been in slavery, their whole nation, in Egypt. And they literally, all waking hours of their life was spent serving the Egyptians. Okay? They were slaves to the Egyptians. And on top of that, they lived in a culture where if you took a day off, like, you might die. Okay? Because if you didn't work in that culture, you didn't eat. Okay, they didn't go home to their refrigerator and their pantry that was full like us. Okay, they had to work to eat. And so this was a culture that depended on working hard and working often. And so for God just to say, hey, I want you, just for an entire 24-hour period, I just want you to hit the pause button. I want you just to stop working and just to take it off. This would have sounded so unrealistic to them, just like to us, but even more so for them, it would have come across as insensitive. What do you mean, God? Are you kidding me? That's impossible. We're barely making it as it is. And you want us to take a day off? I mean, we might die. I've got a family to take care of. I mean, this is how it would have come across them. But fortunately, for this group of people, they had just had an experience that helped put this commandment into context. When the Israelites left Egypt, they numbered between 1 and 2 million people. They had grown quite a bit. They had been in slavery for 400 years. And so the whole nation leaves Egypt. You know, you just see, you know, million people just leaving the country of Egypt. And when they left, they took some food with them, but there's only so much food you could carry, right? And this is before refrigeration. These Israelites were not pulling igloo coolers outside of Egypt, you know, on their way into the desert. Not to mention the desert would be hard to pull them, right? But that's just not the case. And so they could only carry but so much food, and it wouldn't have lasted very long, and it didn't. And so very early into their trip outside of Egypt, they ran out of food. And they started complaining to their leader, Moses, and just said, hey, Moses, we're going to starve to death. Like, what's the plan, Moses? Like, that's cool. You just saved us out of slavery, and you brought us out here in the desert so we could die. Yeah, great. Great plan, Moses. Thanks a lot, right? Until one day, the Israelites woke up, and they looked out and they saw on the ground outside of their tents what the Bible describes as thin flakes like frost. And right there was the introduction of the very first breakfast cereal, Frosted Flakes. Didn't know that, did you? Right, you learn something new every day. Now, they didn't call it Frosted Flakes then. That name came later. But these guys called it manna, and it was food. And when the Israelites started eating this manna, I mean, they just thought it was great. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do that next service, maybe. God had provided food for his people, okay? He was providing for them by having it rain down from heaven. Think cloudy with a chance of meatballs, okay? That's kind of the picture here. And so from then on out, from that day on out, every single day except for one, the Sabbath, when the Israelites woke up, there was manna all over the ground. And here was God's instructions for them. He said, I want you to collect enough manna just for each day. Okay, just manna for each day, and that's it. Okay, I mean, simple enough. We're going to get enough manna, enough food to eat for today. But some of the Israelites didn't believe God. And they were a little scared. Like, what if God cuts off the supply? Like, what if God doesn't keep his word? And so then when they went out to gather manna, they gathered extra manna. Okay, they gathered manna for a couple of days. But what happened is the next day, okay, when they would wake up, and that manna that they had collected the day before that they had saved overnight in case God didn't supply their needs the next day, that manna had rotted, and it was full of worms. See, these people, they thought they were being smart. They thought they were getting ahead. But the reality is what they were really doing is they were choosing not to trust God. That's what was happening. You see, God was trying to teach his people, even though they were slow to learn, as we are so often, that he could be depended on for their daily provision. He was trying to convince the Israelites and to show them that they could trust him for their daily bread. And if you scroll back a couple chapters in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 16, God explains kind of what he had in mind with this whole manna deal. God says in Exodus 16, verse 26, 6 days you were to gather the manna, but on the seventh there will not be any. Okay? In other words, God's saying, hey, every morning for 6 mornings, go out, gather your manna, your food for the day. But on the seventh day when you wake up, don't go out, because there's not going to be any manna there. And then a few verses later, Moses explains. He says, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Okay? That's why he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone's to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one's to go out. No one's to go out and collect food. So the people rested on the seventh day. You see, on all the other days of the week, any manna that was saved for the next day, it rotted and was full of worms. But on the Sabbath day, it was different. The food that was left over and saved for Sabbath, when the Israelites woke up in the morning, that food still had that fresh from the oven taste. God was providing for his people. What was God doing? God was giving them a weekly reminder, a visual illustration of their dependence on God. God says, I'm going to give you 7 days of provision based on 6 days of your labor. Okay? I'm going to come and I'm going to provide for you. You're going to gather manna for 6 days, but you're going to have enough food for 7 days. You see, the issue came down to this for the Israelites, and it's the same issue that comes down for us today in the 21st century. And it's this. Can I trust God? That's it. Can I trust God to provide for my daily life, provide the needs that I have in life? See, that's the point of the Sabbath, but that is also the reason we fail to keep the Sabbath, right? That is also the reason that we're so reluctant to take that day off, because we're afraid. Hey, what if God cuts off the supply? What if God's not good to his word? Okay. I'm in my fear, I'm afraid that my work is going to suffer if I stop for 24 hours. My job is going to fail. I'm not going to have my needs met the way they need to be met. If I stop, if I rest, everything's going to fall apart. We fall behind, we miss out. And what ends up happening is we end up trusting in our own ability more than we do in God's provision. And God says that's a problem, because, see, the Sabbath is a reminder that it's not all in your hands and it's not all in my hands. The Sabbath is this 24-hour period where we step away from the 24/7 frantic pace of our culture, and we are reminded that our dependence rests solely on God. I want to go back to Exodus chapter 20 and this fourth commandment, because God keeps talking about this, and he gives the reason why he's given this commandment. Why is take a day off in the top 10 list? Well, God tells why in verse 11 of Exodus 20. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Okay? Which that includes what? You. Me. Okay? I mean, you can kind of hear God going back and forth with the Israelites here. It's like, hey, why are you here? Because you made us. Right. Yeah, right. Hey, why do you have jobs? Because you gave them to us. You gave us abilities and intelligence and talents to do work. Hey, why do you have food to eat? Because you gave it to us, God. Why do you have opportunities? Because you provided that for us. To which God's going, right, okay, right. See, all the things you enjoy in life, all the things you leverage, all the things you take advantage of, the source is me. Okay? I made them. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, which means he set it apart. It's different than the other 6 days. Here's what you need to understand. When God rested on the seventh day, it's not because he was tired. Okay? God was not in danger of suffering from exhaustion and burnout. Okay, at the end of creation week, he did not say, "Thank me, it's Friday." Right? Okay, that just didn't happen. Right? Actually, what God was doing when he rested is he was sending us a message. And it was simply this: if creation didn't crash when I rested, it won't crash when you do. If creation didn't shut down when I took a day off, it's not going to shut down when you take a day off. I mean, that's an important message to hear, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I could stand to hear that probably on a regular basis. Because isn't that, if we were honest, isn't that why we don't honor the Sabbath day? Isn't that the reason we don't take a day off like we should? Because honestly, deep down, we're not too sure God can manage without us, right? Right? I mean, we're not too sure we can depend on him to meet all the needs and to get all the things done that we need. And so we live with this illusion that everything's dependent on me. And that my identity and my value is all based on my production. Who's going to run the world if not me, right? But Sabbath is an invitation to imitate God so we're reminded that we're not him. See, when Sabbath reminds us that when we rest, the world just keeps spinning. Tides still ebb and flow. My job does not fall apart. My email inbox does not explode. My cell phone does not have a seizure. Okay? My refrigerator and my pantry don't go empty. They don't run out. Okay? Even though I may not, for that 24-hour period, I may not be there to supervise everything. I may not be there to keep all the plates spinning that I've got going. But God's still at work. And God is providing for me, and I can trust him. You know who got this right? You know who got this whole taking of the day off right? Jesus got this right. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Jesus got like everything right, okay? Yeah, we get that, okay? But there's a reason why I mention him here. Jesus, when you read through the story of Jesus, you see that he modeled this whole idea of stopping and pressing the pause button and resting. I mean, day in and day out and week in and week out, we see him stepping back from the routine and resting. And I mentioned that about Jesus, how he modeled this for us, because tomorrow when you open up your to-do list, okay, I know you're going to have tons of stuff to do, right? You're going to have tons of places you need to go. You're going to have tons of people you need to connect with. Okay, you're busy, busy, busy. But not one of the action items on your to-do list when you look at it tomorrow is going to say, be the savior of the world. Now, you may live like it, but none of them are going to say that, right? I mean, you got a lot to do. I know. I got a lot to do. But not one of your action items is going to say, be the savior of the world. And if yours does, we have some counselors here who would love to talk to you right after the service, okay? They'll also be carrying the white jackets with them, all right? But every day that God opened up his to-do list, every day that God pulled up his Evernote app, it said, be the savior of the world. Now again, I know life's 24/7 for you. I know that, man, you are busy. You got a lot going on. And the idea of just taking a 24-hour period and just setting it aside and hitting the pause button and resting and not working, that just seems totally unrealistic for you. But if God in the flesh, if Jesus could step aside and hit the pause button with all that he had to accomplish, I think you can too. I think I can too. Jesus actually said something very interesting about the Sabbath during his ministry. As is often the case, in Jesus' day, the religious leaders had just totally messed up the whole concept of Sabbath. Religious leaders are always screwing things up. And in Jesus' day, they had made a list of all these rules for what you could and could not do on the Sabbath. In fact, there was a specific list of 39 things that were prohibited from doing on the Sabbath when Jesus walked the earth. And so basically what they had done is they had taken this gift from God, take a day off, and they had just made it this list of do's and don'ts. Again, religious people have done it throughout the centuries. Okay, for example, one of those rules is that having a bowel movement was considered work. By many religious leaders in Jesus' day. And so you were prohibited from having a bowel movement for a 24-hour period every week. I'm not making this up. I mean, what kind of rest is that if you can't even go to the restroom, right? I mean, isn't it more work just to hold it? We're just going way too much into that, all right? But when Jesus came, he said, man, enough with that nonsense. And he said this in the Bible in the book of Mark, chapter 2. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I love that, because what Jesus is saying, he said, Sabbath, this day, it's not meant to be this legalistic thing. Sure, God gave it as a command, but it's not so much a command as it's a gift. It's not so much a have to as it's a get to. God said, you get a day. I get a day. Would you just say that with me? I get a day. Say it again with some excitement, okay? I get a day. That's what God said to you. You get a day. Every week, you work 6 weeks. Work's good, okay? You do that. But every week, you get a day. See, life for you and life for me is not meant to be 24/7. Life is meant to be 24/6. See, in our culture, in our economy, yeah, it's 24/7, but in God's economy, it's 24/6. God says you get a day. You get a day when you're reminded that your identity and your worth is not wrapped up in your performance. You get a day. You get a day that you get to enjoy just rest and fun and family and people. You get a day. You get a day that just gives you freedom from the hurried, busy, angry, and empty routines that you find yourself in the other 6 days of the week. You get a day. Okay, 6 days work. That's good. It's part of the command. Okay. But then you get a day. Life is no longer 24/7. Life is 24/6 for you. Because here's what God understands, and this is so important. Your life moves to a better place when you move at a sustainable pace. Let me say that again. Your life moves to a better place when you move at a sustainable pace. Now, I can prove the truth of that statement through something as simple as a crossword puzzle. Okay? You ever worked on a crossword puzzle, or you're sitting at home working on a crossword puzzle, and things are going well, but then you just kind of get stuck, right? And so eventually you just can't think of any other words, so you just kind of put it to the side. You get up, go get some coffee, go do some things you need to do, maybe go take a walk, but you just do some other things. A little bit later in the day, you come back to the crossword puzzle. And like almost instantly, you figure out 3 or 4 words to put in the crossword puzzle. That ever happened to you? Now, what happened during that break? Did you get smarter? No, you didn't get smarter, right? You didn't get smarter. What happened is you gave your brain a chance to recover so that when you sat back down with that crossword puzzle, you were sharper. Not smarter, but sharper. Okay? And by the way, I think that principle is also true for Candy Crush. Okay, just saying, but I think I found that to be true. But the point is this: when you pull away for a 24-hour period, that fear that you have, okay, that your work is going to fall apart, that your job is going to fall apart. The truth is actually the very opposite of that. When you pull away for a 24-hour period and then you go back to work, what you find is you're a better leader. What you find is you're a better employer. You're a better employee. Why? Because you gave yourself a chance to recover and you came back sharper. Because your life and your work and your relationships and your relationship with God moves to a better place when you move at a sustainable pace. See, living 24/7 is life draining. Living 24/6 is life giving. And that's why God said, take a day off. You get a day. And so here's the challenge for you this morning. Would you be willing, okay, to institute this principle of a Sabbath into your life? Would you be willing to just try, maybe just for a month, just give it a try, okay, for 4 weeks, to make time every week to just press the pause button and to remember that you are relying solely on God for His provision. To just press the pause button and remember all that God has done for you and all that God is doing for you. Would you say today, you know, I am going to take a 24-hour period that's best for me, okay? It's going to be different for different ones of us. For me, it's Friday, okay? That's my 24-hour period. But we say, yeah, I'm going to take a 24-hour period that's best for me, and I'm just going to force myself to shut it down. And I'm not going to work. I'm not going to go over there and make the deal, okay? I'm not going to have them meet me at my house and do a little work there. In fact, I'm going to turn my cell phone to vibrate, and I'm going to leave it on the dresser. I'm not even going to carry it around with me. I'm going to shut it down. I'm just going to say no, and it's going to have to wait until the next day. And I'm just going to trust God to cover the gap. Now, some of you are sitting there and going, Jeff, that's totally impractical. Sure it is. We wouldn't be talking about it today if it was totally practical, right? Because you'd already be doing it. We wouldn't need to discuss this. It's totally impractical. But the issue really is this. Can you trust God with your work? Can you trust Him with your career? And your profession, and your provision. Can you trust God for 7 days of provision based on 6 days of your effort? Now, I'm going to be real honest right now. I feel like a real hypocrite talking about this because this is something that I struggle with. Okay, there are seasons of my life I do it really well, and there are seasons of my life I don't do it so well. I struggle. I know the pressure that you feel oftentimes to get things done. I have a history of taking on way more than I should. I have a history of constantly trying to figure out ways I can get more done and can get ahead. I know the pressure that you feel when you step away for 24 hours and you're just like, man, I feel like I'm letting my work down. I feel like I'm going to fall behind. I feel like I'm letting people down by stepping aside and resting. Okay? I know what that feels like, but let me just say that time after time, when I shut it down, okay, when I stop and I rest and I trust, God has always been faithful to me. God has always provided to cover the gap. And I wonder, what would He do on your behalf if he said, you know what? Once a week, I'm going to just build in a reminder that as hard as I work, and as much as I love my job, and as much as I love my company, as much as I love getting ahead, and I love progress, and I love to take the next hill, I love to succeed, and please understand, God loves all those things too. As much as I love all those things, once a week on a practical level, I'm going to declare my dependence on God, and I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm going to take 24 hours. I'm going to figure that out, where that's best in my life, and I'm going to take it, and I'm not going to do any work. And I'm going to trust God for 7 days of provision based and wrangled out of my 6 days of labor. What do you think God might do on your behalf if you do that? Here's what I think you'll find. Your life will move to a better place when you move at a sustainable pace. God says, you get a day. I mean, you gotta love a God who says that, right? You get a day off. And you gotta trust a God who says that. That life for you is not 24/7. Life is 24/6. You get a day. And so I just want to ask you today, I want to just challenge you. Will you try it for a month? Would you just take 4 weeks? Would you test God, put him to the test, and see what he may do on your behalf? Take the day off. And then that leads us to this question. So what do I do on that day if I'm not working? And that's what we're going to have fun talking about next week. This morning, like we do each and every Sunday, we want to give you some time to think about what you've heard. And in fact, I think that may even be more important today than most weeks. To just consider what this looks like in your life. What would that look like to step back from my work for 24 hours? I mean, because you're going to leave here in a few minutes, and you're going to go on the other side of those doors, you're going to encounter the 24/7 pace of our culture again, okay? And so I want to encourage you, just take a couple minutes. What would this look like in my life? The band's going to come up. They're going to play a song. And I just challenge you. What does this look like, this Sabbath principle? What's it look like in my life? What would I have to do this week to take 24 hours off? Okay. What day would that be? Okay, again, for me, it's Friday. For you, maybe it's Sunday. Maybe it's Saturday. Maybe it's another day of the week. Maybe you work a shift schedule. Okay, and for you, it's going to be a different day each week. Okay, it's going to be different for each of us. But what day would that be for you? And what would that look like? What would need to happen for you to take a day off? During this time, we also make communion available. And this is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represents Christ's body that was crucified on the cross for you and for me so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we could start over. It's interesting. There's a couple things in the Bible that God tells us to remember. He says, remember the Sabbath day. I think he uses that word because we forget. He says, remember the Sabbath day. But then he also says, remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. Ultimately, it's because of Jesus that I can take a day rest. Ultimately, it's because of Jesus I can trust God to provide for my daily needs because he's provided for my spiritual needs. And so what would it look like for you today, this week, to take a day off? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being a God who gives us a day off. And God, I understand just how hard it can be in our 24/7 culture God, we live in a city that prides itself in being 24/7. God, we have technology that's just attached to us, that's always beckoning for us. God, I know how hard it can be to take this concept, this command, and to just put it through the filter of our schedules and our work and our lives and what that would look like for us. But God, would you give us the courage to do that? And God, for those in this room today who are saying, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm not very good at that, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to take a day off. I'm not going to do any work. God, for those people here in this room, would you just show up in some very practical, amazing, tangible ways in their life? Would you just provide for them in ways that they can just tell? You're honoring them because they're keeping the Sabbath. God, would you give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've heard today? And then would you give us the courage to do it? In Jesus' name, amen.